Benjamin, oh yeah. Little Benjamin, come here and say yes.
Hey, everybody. Yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going?
I'm good, Jason. Always a joy, always a fun time to record a new show. And today, before we even get started, I want to say thanks to our sponsor, Opteo. Opteo is a online tool for you to get practical, simple to use AdWords information about your campaigns. So for example, if you want to look at your search terms and add new keywords, you can very easily, in plain language, without using the AdWords interface, log into Opteo, click open improvement, and it reads in plain English what's happening with that keyword. It gives you a visual guide of what that search looks like and what people are seeing, and lets you take action on that keyword. You can choose add this as a real keyword or add this as a negative keyword right there in the interface. And it's simple. And if you don't even understand the basics of AdWords, this is a wonderful solution to help you take action and improve your AdWords campaign. Check our podcast notes for details for a free 30-day trial of Opteo. And we want to thank them for their sponsorship.
Yes, thank you, Chris. And today's second sponsor is Directive Consulting. Directive is a leading go-to B2B search engine marketing agency. They do SEO, they do content, they do pay-per-click, they do landing pages. They work with all kinds of businesses, but they specialize in enterprise and B2B companies. A lot of people come to them after working with other agencies, and Directive is the company that gets it right. We recommend you guys check out directiveconsulting.com. They offer a free custom proposal, and they also have a ton of case studies on their website. We recommend you guys check them out. We have a link in the description and a link in the show notes on YouTube. directiveconsulting.com. B2B search engine marketing agency. We recommend them and we thank them for supporting today's episode. Now, Chris, are you not even going to address the elephant in the room? Why I did a personalized yes for Benjamin? He left a comment on the YouTube channel. He said he came for the yes and stayed for the Paid Search Podcast. So I've decided I'm going to start doing personalized.
Oh, wow.
Yeses at the beginning of the show. There's a lot of demand at this point. The price is zero. But that may change in the future, Chris, because this is a very value-adding
that
activity.
Is,
so, Benjamin, thank you for
what an
thank
entrepreneur.
You for your support with the yes.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't
making
know.
Money out of literally nothing.
Whatever nothing. Jason charges, I will do 50 cents less, and I will call your name in a non-creepy way. Okay? So, there we go. I'm going to say
it. You can't do it like me.
Yes, Benjamin. Yes. How about that? I'll charge you less.
See,
go.
That just doesn't do it for him. That doesn't do it for him. But Chris, yeah, so we got a lot to get to today, Chris. We got questions. We got a review. We're going to read the review. But first, Mr. Producer Idiot, I just want to know why you cut my news segment. Like, we do the news every week that you have a news story. But as soon as I have a news story, he gets in there, guys, and he goes, I suggest we cut this for the week. And he wrote it in all caps and then highlighted the section red. And I think he wants to save time. But Chris, let me just, like,
No, we're going to go straight to the review. It's just my episode. I came up with show notes. I get to choose.
So, Chris, the 30 seconds that it would take me to break this news about this very interesting stuff with the call-only ads, you're not going to allow me to do
Start a timer for 30 seconds. There you go. Siri? 30 seconds.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be restricted to 30 seconds.
20.
If you're going to deprive the people of this interesting news, then we're going to push it to it next week. But everybody out there, just know, I had a very interesting thing to tell you about call-only ads. It would help you this week. It would help you today. But Mr. Producer thought we didn't have time for it. So next week, guys, we'll get to the breaking news. So yeah, so let's read our review, Chris. So today's review, iTunes review of the week, is from G. Silva V. He said, I owe
There's
you both
timer,
a beer.
By the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I could have, Chris, I could have helped people so much.
Go ahead. I owe both a beer. Go for it.
You're turning into a news anchor because you used to be a news anchor and you're so vain and you're a perfect fit for that local TV news business. But anyway, today's review is from G. Silva V. We appreciate it. They say, I owe you both a beer. And then he said very smartly, hey, Jason and Chris. I like what he did there. I recently stumbled upon your podcast. Actually, I found you guys on YouTube. I'm an app developer who has been struggling for over a year trying to make Google Ads work for me. It was only after hearing hours of you guys talking that I finally managed to understand this game and use the knowledge to increase my revenue. Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you for that review. Yes. And Chris, we are answering questions on this show now. So if anyone has a question, they can go to paidsearchpodcast.com on the contact page. And we got a question in late last night, Chris.
Yes.
And you saw it come through and you just thought it was a good one to talk about today. So why don't you let us know what is on Alex's mind from the UK, from Leeds.
Alex from Leeds in the UK says, hi guys, happy new year. I've been listening to the podcast for well over a year now and absolutely love it for the most part. I wonder, I want to know what he didn't like. That's what I want to know the most. But anyway, I think you guys do an amazing job and I'm grateful for you sharing all your knowledge and expertise. So Alex goes on to say that he's been freelancing for 5 years, but he finds it lonely at times and difficult to find like-minded people to brainstorm with. Okay, I totally understand that. Basically, his email says he would like to hear more about running an AdWords business. He wants to know about pricing, communicating with clients, and time management. Alex, today is your day because I chose your question because it was a perfect introduction for our big announcement for 2019. Today, we're announcing our very first episode of the PSP Insider. Okay, this is a paid training course for those of you like Alex that are running a PPC company, whether it's freelance or an agency. We already have our first training course on our website, paidsearchpodcast.com. It's about your very first sales call with your new PPC prospect. So you've got a call from someone you're going to try and pitch your services to. We step through every process. You'll learn how to start the call, what to talk about, how to set expectations, how to answer questions that they have, and how to make sure they will pay that invoice after the call and get started as a real client. Okay, a couple things. We've worked really hard on this, and we've been thinking about it a long time. It's been in the works for a while, and it's something we've wanted to share, but it's not the kind of thing that we could just do and give out on the podcast because it's something that I have been working on in my 10 years of freelancing, and Jason's been working on it in his time with freelancing. I mean, it's very detailed information. These new training courses are nothing like the Paid Search Podcast. There's no banter, there's no sponsors, there's no reviews, no joking around. We get straight to business. And the very first episode, to show that we're serious, the very first episode is $120, and we expect other courses to follow this basic same kind of price point, okay? I know that's a lot. Some of you are surprised by that, but we're charging what we think it's worth. We think it is incredibly valuable information, and you can purchase the course at paidsearchpodcast.com. Look for the PSP Insider link at the top of the page.
Yeah, Chris, I'm excited about it, and I'm looking forward to doing a ton of those episodes with you and helping people. And just so everyone knows, the main mindset approach I take to it is throw myself back 7 years when I was starting out. If I had people that were in the business doing exactly what I was doing, who were at a farther point than me, telling me exactly how they got there and exactly how to do it, down to the words to say, just everything down to the details, it would provide a lot of value to me. So that's what we're trying to make it. We're trying to make it kind of for ourselves a few years ago. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to help a lot of people. So Alex, PSP Insider, that is where we're going to talk about the business of Google Ads. Okay, Chris. So yeah, let's get into today's topic. We've talked about this once or twice, but I think it definitely needs to be talked about again with the new interface. We're talking about drafts and experiments. And the reason I say that is because this is such a cool tool. This is one of the coolest tools in Google Ads. It's one of the most helpful tools, but it's kind of been treated like a second fiddle.
Yeah.
It's been moved around. It's changed a bunch, but we're at a place now, I think, where when you run through this in the interface, it's very intuitive now. It makes sense now. Mm-hmm. It's easy to set up. You're not jumping all across different pages and stuff. It's all there for you. We'll get into it, but the data, looking at the data, knowing that the experiment's running is very seeable now. And it's just hugely improved with the new interface. And it's something that's hugely needed. So the one thing I want to say, Chris, about the just the overall topic of creating drafts of your campaigns and setting up experiments is that it's hugely needed. I work with a lot of clients. My policy is please do not touch your Google Ads accounts. We're the ones managing it. When you touch it, it messes things up. Please let us do our job. If you have any requests, just let us know and we'll work those in. And for the most part, Chris, that works for like 90% of my clients, but there's this 10% out there, and I don't say this lightly, they are addicted to making changes. Yeah. And they cannot help them. They cannot help themselves, and they're paying someone to manage their AdWords account. So just imagine people with this issue, this addiction to making changes and not getting data to base those changes on when they don't have an AdWords manager to slow them down, when they're the ones doing it day to day.
Yeah.
And they're just screwing themselves. They're shooting themselves in the foot and really, really damaging their prospects. This tool comes along, drafts and experiments. It allows you to make as many changes as you want, but it protects you because it protects the original campaign. So, Chris, kick us off here. I want to know two things. I just want an overview of how this works, what this is, and then why it's on your mind.
Yeah. So, Jason, I think you said it. Two points there that are well stated. I think number one is that it's a very intuitive tool now. I think it's overlooked and it's very simple. I don't think it was quite so simple before in the old interface. And now with the new one, it is much easier to use. And to start off, I want to point out the purpose behind it. Okay. So you say, why do I need to do an experiment? I experiment constantly. I do A/B testing. But ads A/B testing, that's sure, that's built into AdWords. But how do you test your bids? How do you know if your bid is better at $3 or $2? You say, well, I just dropped the bid $2 in my campaign. No, that's a different week. That's a different month. That's a different set of people with different interests. You're not testing it. You're just changing it is all you're doing. With drafts right. and experiments, what you can do is you can test it real time, same season, same type of people, same keyword, same time of day, and you're running two campaigns at the same time, and you're getting data and analyzing the results from each. So I think first we need to do a little bit of vocabulary and say drafts is the non-active part of experiments. You create a draft. It is merely a campaign that is a duplicate of your initial or original campaign, and it does not run. It just sits there in your drafts and doesn't do anything. It doesn't run. It doesn't acquire clicks or impressions. It doesn't spend money. Once you convert a draft into an experiment, that is when a draft becomes active and starts getting clicks, impressions, conversions, and spending money. Okay. So when we use the word draft, we're talking about something pre-launch, something that's not running. We're talking about experiments. We're talking about something that is then gathering data and testing something on an active basis. So I want to get that language out of the way right up front so nobody's confused.
That's good, Chris. And I want to kind of paint a picture in people's mind. And the only way to kind of give an AdWords example over audio is to talk about divorce lawyers in Memphis. It's something everybody gets.
Yeah.
It's something everybody relates to. And we're going to use that as our example. So let's say you have a campaign, divorce lawyers in Memphis, and you're targeting keywords like divorce lawyer, divorce attorneys. You're targeting the city of Memphis. You've got your bid set up. It's a search campaign. Say you're spending $50 a day, $50 a day. And you think of an idea, a different landing page, different ad copy, different bids. We'll get into that. But you think of an idea you want to test. So you go into your campaign, and then we have this middle gray bar. I'm still calling it tabs. What do you call that gray bar, Chris, with like keywords? And do you want to still call it tabs?
I call it the wall.
I don't know what to call it.
The wall of bang.
What do you call it?
The wall of bang bar.
The wall of bang.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're being very disobedient. You're being disruptive to class right now. Making a joke.
I'm sorry.
You're not helping the situation. You're a bad child.
Okay.
Your parents should never have had you.
Wow.
And by the way, they told me you were an accident New Year's Eve night, 1982.
That's not my age or the proper.
Okay. So Chris, Accidental Chris.
Oh no. I guess it's better than the great Chris Schaefer or the pony, show pony, but okay. Please continue. I'm sorry for ruining the momentum.
No, it's not better than those, Chris. Accidental Chris is not better than any of those. But so, Chris, say you have a campaign and you want to test something. You go into that gray, I guess you could call it sidebar, or what used to be the tabs, but you call it a sidebar. You go down to the very bottom of it once you're in your campaign and you see drafts and experiments. You click on drafts and experiments, and this is where you can set up your draft. And the draft is basically the draft version of the experiment campaign, the second campaign. And I just want to paint the picture, Chris, before we get into how to do it. I just want to paint the end result so people can kind of have that in their mind as we go along.
Yeah, definitely.
You click on drafts and experiments. You create your draft campaign, which will become your experiment campaign. You make the changes you want to make in the draft campaign. Then you turn it on and it becomes an experiment campaign, and you set a percentage of traffic that you want it to get. So say you do 50-50. That means you will have your original divorce lawyer in Memphis campaign running 50% of the time. It will spend an average of, it will run 50% of the time, and the experiment campaign will run the other 50%. And that number is controllable, but the point is you're creating a second actual campaign out of the first one, and they run together, they run concurrently at the same time, but they take off, like they switch automatically who's showing at any given time for any given user. One of them runs 50% of the time, the other one runs 50% of the time, if that's what you choose to do. So Chris, that's the end result, is that you're splitting out kind of a second campaign out of the original and allocating it a percent of the traffic. That's the end goal. But why don't you kick us off here with how to exactly do that in the drafts area?
Yeah. All right. So here's the process. You click on drafts and experiments. This is down at the, look towards the bottom left of your screen. Okay, once you're in the AdWords interface. And by the way, click on all campaigns. You need to be on the all campaigns view for this, because that's something you need to know. Yep. You create drafts at the campaign level. You don't create drafts at the ad group level or at the keyword level. You create them at the campaign level. So go to all campaigns, click on drafts and experiments, then click create new draft. You select a campaign to duplicate. Okay, so if you have multiple campaigns, you would pick the one that's going to work for this experiment that you want to create. You name it. And now is the fun part. You get to kind of do something you've never done before. Freely just start changing things. This is what's...
Oh, they've done it before. Yeah. They've done it before, Chris.
Yeah.
They just get to do it in the right place now.
You finally get to do something with no regret, where you can just start changing things and be actively monitoring what's happening. So I should say that. So, okay, a couple things we should mention at the top before we get into what you can change or what you should consider changing. You can only have one experiment at a time. You can't create
per,
more
per
than
per campaign.
One. No, at one experiment.
Correct.
No, I think you can only have one experiment.
Dad, are you serious?
One experiment at a time. Pretty sure.
Wow. Well, let me. I'll put an end to this right now. If we need to edit, we can edit.
This comes straight to, if we can edit, if you're wrong, is what you're saying. I read that straight from the Google support page, okay? So I checked on this to make sure I wasn't wrong. One experiment at a time. You can end an experiment early. You don't have to go all the way to the end date. And we'll talk a little bit about what happens at the end date, but you can apply the experiment to the original campaign based on the changes you made.
Oh, Dad, you've been drinking again.
No.
Got a little drunk
no
here,
way.
Dad.
So you have two campaigns. You can create one experiment per campaign because there are separate budgets. Is that what it is?
Dad.
Oh, my God.
Chris, no, I was able to create a second experiment and run it with the second campaign. Now, that campaign is a display campaign versus my other experiment, which is on search campaign. But I don't think that should make a difference.
Okay.
I'm fairly certain. I'm looking at it. It pretty much looks like you can do one experiment per campaign.
Per campaign. Okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Tell you what.
Chris, you know what a lot of people in your position do? They get their work done when the sun goes down, when it's 5 o'clock, then they start drinking. They don't start at 4.
No way.
They don't start at 3 when they're mixing it with their work and trying to prepare for the show.
Better.
They just wait until the end of the day.
I work faster. No, that's not true. I don't even drink. Jason's so funny. He doesn't drink either.
Yeah, neither of us drink that much.
We're all talking like, oh, I love to drink. We don't even drink. Oh, my
gosh. It is funny, though.
Such hypocrites. Okay. All right. So here we go. It's a weird. This is.
Dad's getting mad.
This is weird. Okay. Let's talk about things that you can change, and I would suggest you can change in your draft, which will eventually become an experiment. So, number one, easy enough, not too much risk, but Jason, you already mentioned it. You can change your ad copy, right? Completely. You could try
completely.
Completely.
That's the key.
Yeah. I'm not talking about creating another ad, but actually delete that stuff, change your landing page, change your ad copy, you know, and then run that side by side. So this would be something that would be a pretty intense shift. Maybe you want to decide to run only the responsive search ads and not any of the expanded text ads, and you want to run that side by side and see what happens. That would be an excellent way to check the click-through rate to see which one's doing better. Or you want to try a completely different call to action. You don't want to run those side by side. You want to analyze that. That'd be a very safe way to do that. Jason, what else are you thinking?
Yeah, a couple things that come to mind with ads. And again, just like you said, we're not here to create a whole nother experiment and go through all that, or a whole nother campaign via an experiment just to test out a different ad. Like, you can test out multiple ads in an ad group, get impressions over time, and see which one has a better click-through rate. We're not here to do that. We're here to do big changes. So if you're struggling between running people to your website or your Yelp page, that's one change you can do. If you're struggling between running people to your website or some specific landing pages you have set up, that's a huge change that you can do with an experiment. The other one that comes to mind, Chris, is themes. So if you have a moving company and you want to promote like your services and how well you do and how qualified your movers are and how trained they are and how much experience you have, that could be your original campaign. And then if you want to see what click-through rates and conversion rates look, where you just purely get to the point, dollars and cents, and you focus on cost, nothing but ad copy about cost, you can do that in the experiment campaign. And it's just a beautiful thing. There's no guessing. You're going to get results. You're going to get data, and you're going to be able to see, okay, the service experiment or experience qualified campaign got this click-through rate, this cost per conversion, and the purely dollars and cents cost-focused ad copy campaign, the experiment, got this click-through rate, this cost per conversion. So big changes is the key thing to talk about with ads. Chris, bidding. This is probably the number one way I can see listeners using the experiment function. You and I just last night, Chris, you probably haven't read it because for some reason, unlike every other fan of mine, you don't like looking at my individual content. Like, I'm doing water coolers every day. Mm. You don't watch those.
No. Nope.
I'm doing blogs. You don't read those.
Nope.
I do a podcast about investing. You only listen to the first two so far.
Two.
I nope. track you.
Unsubscribe.
And it's like, come on, Chris. So you wouldn't know this, but all my other fans would. Last night, I wrote a love letter, Chris.
Wow.
A love letter to manual bidding. The last sentence of the article, Chris, is manual bidding, she will be loved. And then I have a video of Maroon 5, she will be loved, right after that.
Wow, that's...
I went deep. I talked about shadow boxing in my underwear. I talked about looking up old friends on Facebook and getting emotional. And all of it is because of manual bidding. So
you belong on Tumblr.
I have a tattoo. A lot of people don't know this. On my right shoulder, it says manual bidding. Yes, I do, Chris. Yes, I do, because I'm going to be the last guy doing manual bidding, and I love it. But here's the thing. Even when you do manual bidding, there's that little hamster always telling you, you should try out automated bids. Those are working really well for me. You should try conversion bidding. Mm-hmm. You should try max clicks bidding. Everyone's pushing you in that direction. All right. You put it on your regular campaign. It screws up everything. All your bids go away. You hate yourself.
Yep.
But now you can put it in an experiment campaign and you can see the different results. And bidding is a huge one to change. Chris, bidding styles, doing manual and then the experiment, doing like target CPA or max clicks, that's one way to do it. Could you also see people sticking to manual in an experiment campaign and changing bids?
I mean, I don't know. I've never
or
done
do you
anything
think
like that.
Too small of a change.
I mean, what if I increased all of my bids like 50% or dropped them 50%? You know, what would happen? That might be kind of interesting. But I've never done that. You know, but then again, I don't work in-house on like one campaign where I stare at it 8 hours a day. You know, so for people that are working on like one account and they need to just like dial in and get super detailed kind of stuff like that to be able to answer those kind of questions, this would be perfect. And I'll tell you, just today I looked at an account. It's just about to end. It's a few days from ending. I started something early December on a 45-day test to see this one account that gets like 40 or 50 conversions every month. I put them on a CPA bidding because Google popped up and said, hey, we know better than you. Let us try CPA. So I said, fine, let's do an experiment. Their system failed. Like, it was horrible. It didn't work. But I know now, if a client comes to me and says, hey, I got a call from from Google and they said, well, I should try this. I'll say, actually, George, I've done that. I've tried that, and here's the result. It didn't work out. And I didn't have to, just like you say, completely ruin my manual bidding setup to try that.
Yeah. And that's the point, Chris. As you manage a bunch of AdWords accounts and you get a ton of experience, one thing I've learned is that getting success in a campaign, it's not hard. Like, we do it all the time, but it is special. And when you have it, you don't want to mess it up. And it's very easy to mess things up. And there's so many different industries, so many different competitors, so many different markets, so many different websites, clients, that what works in one account's not going to work in the other. And sometimes you can't really even put a name on it. You don't really know why things are working. And I'm just always, now that I'm experienced, I'm very hesitant to risk success in a campaign. And so this, like, if a client's beating you down about using a CPA bidding, experiment is the way to go. So, Chris, why don't you take us through keywords? This is a big way, a huge way you could use an experiment.
Yeah. So just like you said, sometimes I get bound up with like a fear of changing some of my keywords, pausing some of them, or adding something new, especially for a campaign that seems to be working well. You know, I'm like, I don't know how to improve it any further. This one takes up, you know, this one keyword takes up 30% of the traffic. I wonder what would happen if I pause this and let some of these other longer tail stuff work. I wonder how it would do. Those types of big shifts where you're going to shift the traffic volume from one set of ad group keywords to another, or you're going to, or even changing the match type from a phrase to maybe you want to try modified broad instead of a phrase, see how that works. Or you want to test our episode back from a while ago where we talked about how to use pure broad keywords the right way. You want to see if we're full of BS or whether it's going to really work. This would be a great opportunity to add those keywords in and see what happens. So adding keywords is great. And again, following the same idea, don't do it to just pause one keyword that gets 5% of spend. That's kind of a wasted experiment. Go after stuff that's, you're really going to get some results and movement from.
Yeah. And if you want to do broad keywords, experiment's a perfect way to go, because at the end of experiment, what you can do is you can, this is a quote, after the experiment's over and you want to apply it, you can update your original campaign. Your campaign will reflect the changes you made in your experiment. So if all you did in your experiment, you left all the bids the same, all the keywords the same, except you added in three broad keywords and they performed well, you can move those broad keywords into your original campaign after they prove themselves, and you didn't risk the results of the current campaign. So keywords are a great thing to test. Chris, this is something we would have never talked about 6 months ago or a year ago on a search campaign. Never. Audiences. Mm-hmm. Audiences are big. You wouldn't know this again because I don't know. There's 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, but you just don't find time to get to my YouTube channel ever. But I did a great training video that's out there for free about adding an audience to a search campaign.
Wow.
You could learn a thing or two, Chris. But anyway, audiences.
Who taught you? Go ahead.
What?
I was going to say, who taught you?
You really want to go there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this version of you. You told me before the show that now that we changed up some things with the timing and stuff, you're able to do CrossFit again before the show.
Yeah, got attitude.
I got to say, you just need to understand, it makes you a little aggressive, a little more testosterone flowing through the body, a little more belligerent. And I don't know, it's a new personality I got to get used to, because I thought people did CrossFit to get the rage out. But apparently you don't get it all out. It just kind of beefs it up. As you take a sip from your big cup with the Texas
audiences.
That's audience. The biggest cup I've ever seen in my life. Okay, Let's talk about us compensating. All right, let's talk about audiences. So, Chris, you can add and remove audiences. We talked about audiences a few weeks ago. You add them to the search campaign. Okay, these people are in the market to sell their home. These people are college educated. These people are homeowners. These people are interested in business technology. And you can see how that traffic performs with your search campaign. Now, let me ask you a question. Someone may go, okay, you guys gave me a great advice. You told me to do observation. And then once I got data, I can increase the bids or something like that. So why would you run a experiment with audiences when you can just do observation?
Right. Yeah. So the idea here is, again, you wouldn't want to just do observation targeting for audiences, as we've discussed before, because that doesn't change your targeting. It just gives you data. The idea here is, let's go crazy. What if we did just one small segment of an audience, you know, like real estate, and they're interested in a commercial property, and we just drop the keyword marketing, like modified broad match marketing. Suddenly now we can actually test to see what happens if we have a super broad term with people that have a history or an interest in real estate commercial properties. So, I mean, this could be something you could test, and you could try it with some long tail, you know, commercial property marketing. You have it running here, and then you have another one running 50% bid. And the cool thing is, you say, well, Chris, you could do that same thing with two campaigns or two ad groups. You're right. You can, but you're going to run into competition here. Sometimes the ad's going to show more. You have no control over whether your A version is going to show 80% of the time and the other one's going to show 20. You have no control over that. The reason for doing the experiment is that you have hard data to show, I want to show this 50%, this other one 50%, and it's going to make sure that happens. So that's the reasoning. You know, there's no reason to complicate whether I should do it one way or the other. There's only one reason to do this, and it's because you have a theory in mind and you want to test it for a specific amount of time.
Yep. And Chris, now that we're getting into audiences, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm so glad experiments are there, and I'm so glad they made them easier to use, because as an AdWords manager, that call that you get, that email that you get from clients, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
This is the outlet for it.
I'm going to do an experiment, and I'll give it 10% of your
lifesaver.
Spend.
Yeah.
Like, you'll say, oh, I'm doing
it. And it also, it allows an AdWords manager to do a better job for the client, because clients are business people. They're gung-ho, and they have ideas, and they want to execute them. And it's just hard to execute huge changes like that. Like, okay, totally change your keyword targeting, run broad keywords, and then overlay that with an audience. They have to be in the market for whatever. That's a huge change. And to a business person, they're like, okay, run the change, test it, let's see if it does good. But to an AdWords manager before experiments were easy, that's like, oh my God, we're just going to mess everything up.
Yeah.
But now we have a place to put it in, and I'm thankful for that. So finishing up here, Chris, demographics, and then we'll get into settings. Demographics, I'll take this one. This is a big one, because let me tell you the kind of danger you can get yourself in. Mm. I was running a campaign the other day for lawyers, and I noticed that an age group, just a random age group, I think it was like 45 to 54, and it didn't have anything to do with divorce, which is sometimes around that age. So it didn't have to do with divorce. But that age group, I noticed, was performing horribly. And it was like one other one around that age. So I just like took them out. I decreased the bids a bunch, because the cost per conversion over the last like 30 days was not good on those two demos.
Yeah.
Thinking I was a smart AdWords manager. And then Chris, the next week, the traffic, it sucked. Like our CPA shot up. And I was like, oh man, you know what? I messed up, because I did not look back long enough. And apparently 30 days was not enough information to just start making demographic bids in terms of ages at like with reckless abandon. Because if you go back like 60 days or 90 days, those age groups were performing fine. So I like shot myself in the foot. I reversed changes, and gender, age, household income, they look so clean on the screen. It's like, okay, 18 to 24-year-olds.
That's true.
They have a worse conversion rate. Let me just decrease the bid. It's so easy. It looks so clean. But if you're not looking at enough data, or you're not knowing everything that's going on, you can really screw yourself. So I think experiments are a great place to do easy, simple gender and age demographic and household income, but it allows you to protect yourself from making bad decisions. So that could have saved me a couple weeks ago. So that's how you can use demographics. And Chris, a huge one. We saved the best for last, I think. Settings.
Yeah.
Now you can do setting changes. Like I told you today, like, I don't think you could do that. And you were like, bro, you're an idiot. You can do it. And then I was like, yes, I'm an idiot. And I used other words in our little talk to each other.
I love Skype.
But, Senator, to the best of my recollection, I don't recall being able to do that in the old experiment area. But for sure, you can change location, bidding style, all that. Why don't you get into that?
Yeah. So imagine an idea that you have. You know, you're running things set by a bunch of radiuses, right? You have a couple different radiuses set up, and you wonder, you know, I heard Chris and Jason talk about this way where you can add a bunch of zip codes in. And I wonder if that would work better, you know, and this is how you could test that. This is not the kind of thing that, you know, you may want to just layer on top, because you have no control over whether one is showing up on a zip code and another one's showing up on a radius. You could test those independently of each other and to see which one performs better. Maybe you get a little bit better targeting on a set of zip codes rather than a 10-mile radius. Okay, this would be a great way to do it. Remove the radiuses, set up the geographic targeting in a different way, run the experiment. Ad schedule. Maybe your search impression share is 20% and you're thinking, I really need to improve this, but my boss, you know, he's insistent that I run 24/7. He says that we could get a lead at any time. It's important. And I convinced my boss, let me try 20% of the budget on a 9 to 3 PM time slot. And I'm going to show you, just give me 20% of the budget for 45 days. And I'm going to show you what happens. And you can show them the results that say your search impression share suddenly went up to 70%, and you get a better conversion rate because you have more to work with, and you maybe push the bids up a little bit. You start layering these things, you can have real data, because facts don't care about your feelings. I mean, you can have one thing about, you know, have these feelings about, you know, I think that this time is important that we do 24/7, but in the reality, the numbers just don't show it. So, and then of course there's device bidding. I want to shoot the mobile.
Easy, buddy.
You know, shoot,
easy.
Yeah, not shoot. I want to drive that mobile bid way up. I want to see what happens. You can do that in experiments with a 50% split there. So many different things. I think the power comes from being able to combine these and set it and forget it and let it run and see what happens. I think it's just a great tool. I think a lot of people kind of just skim over it.
Yeah, and just so to paint a picture in everyone's mind again, after you create this draft, after you decide what changes you want to test, you hit apply, and then you can set it up to run as an experiment, and you get to control the traffic. Do you want to do 90-10? Do you want to do 50-50? Anywhere in between there, you get to control it. And then once you get the results, if you want to, you can either convert the draft into a brand new campaign, and the original campaign will be paused, but it'll still be there, and you can turn it right back on if you wanted it. So you can create a new campaign out of the experiment campaign that was running, like a new real campaign, or you can just update the original campaign. And Chris, that's a cool feature, because if you ran an experiment, you liked the results, but you still were hesitant about messing up anything with the old campaign, you can just create a new campaign out of the experiment. The old campaign will stay there untouched, and if you ever want it, you can go back to it.
Yeah.
So that's what you do at the end of an experiment. My final point, Chris, to everybody, is to just understand experiments don't have to end. Experiments don't have to be about one thing. The tool is so convenient now, so cool, that you can go into an experiment trying to test out a location change. And then maybe that worked, maybe it didn't really do anything. And you think, you know what? I already have this experiment going. I'm going to leave the location in there, whatever it's set to, but now I want to test out bids. Instead of setting up a whole new experiment, just test out bids with that experiment that's running. And you don't have to stop. You can keep trying and trying different tests until that experiment is running better than your original. And then you can make that the actual campaign. I think that's a good tip.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, Chris, I guess, I don't know. I need to take a personal pledge. I need to use this more. I don't know about you, but I've been burned in the past. It was not that intuitive. It was not that easy to manage. You had to jump around to a bunch of different screens. It was hard to keep track of. Now I'm loving it. It's all there on the same screen for you. The results are easy to look at. I'm going to be using it more because of the new interface. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, you guys wonder how do we come up with new episodes. It's because for me, I'm stricken with guilt that I'm like, gosh, this is a great tool to use. I want to use it more. So I start diving into it and I realize, you know, this is something more people should use. So that, you know, it comes up as a topic on the podcast. So absolutely something I plan to use more and try to use more diversely instead of just to prove a client wrong and show them that they don't know what they're talking about. I want to use it to prove ideas that I have or disprove ideas that I have. So yep. I think there's a lot here and I hope that's useful to you guys. And you know, please let us know. We love hearing stories about success that you guys had. You know, this is always the kind of cool stuff to see tweets coming in you know, about people like, hey, I tried this and it was super helpful. You know, I'd love to be able to share some of those stories.
Yep. And Chris, we want to thank today's sponsor, Opteo. They are a Google Ads management software doing the small things in AdWords, the big things, but the things that are easy for a software to do, they make AdWords management easy so you can focus on the big strategy things that a software could not do. We recommend you guys checking it out. We like the tool where you can add new keywords into the account right from the software, from the search terms that it sees the campaign picking up. And the nice thing about it, it tells you what those search terms are, what kind of results they've gotten over the recent time period, what the search results, they actually show you a screenshot of Google, what the search results look like for that search term. And then you can pick out what ad group you want to add it into, what match type, and add it in right from the software. It's incredibly convenient. We recommend you guys check them out, opteo.com, opteo.com. They have a free 30-day trial. And we also want to thank today's other sponsor, Directive Consulting. They've been with us a long time. We appreciate it. We want you guys to support them. DirectiveConsulting.com. They offer free custom proposals. They also give you the proof. They have a ton of case studies, B2B, enterprise work, search engine marketing, SEO, PPC, content. They do it all, including landing pages. Check out their case studies. Get a free custom proposal at directiveconsulting.com. Chris, we had a self-promotion thing we were going to do at the end of the show today. Just to wrap it up, I'll just recommend, I get a lot of questions. Jason, do you do training? Do you do consulting? No, I just do management, but I send people Chris's way, chrisschaefer.com. He's an excellent AdWords trainer, excellent coach. He does great training. And then for me, I just want to promote Old Navy. Just so you're aware of them, Chris, it's a clothing store.
Okay.
They sell a lot of shirts, and just looking at this weird green striped shirt you're wearing today, I think you need to go to Old Navy and you need to find some new shirts.
Thank you.
That is just okay. A disaster. That is a disaster. That is an absolute disaster.
The neck,
please change.
Look how far the neck
guys,
can
I'm gonna,
go.
Guys, I'm going to close my... Okay, he's showing me his nipples. I'm ending this right now. Thank you for watching, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the next episode of the Paid Search Podcast.